Hey there, sex fans. Welcome back. Today is Monday, May 26th, 2008, and it's the very last day of our long Memorial Day weekend, the official beginning of the summer season here in Amerikonski land. So y'all are probably lounging by the pool or firing up the Barbie while you are listening to the podcast edition of Dr. Dick's Sex Advice with an Edge, with your host, that savagely scintillating sexologist, Dr. Dick. That would be me. This week, I'm pleased to bring you part two of my interview with the executive director of the Foundation for Sex Positive Culture, Elena Gabash. The Foundation for Sex Positive Culture is a nonprofit organization that promotes sex positive education, outreach, and research. The Foundation is the umbrella organization for the Center for Sex Positive Culture, otherwise known as the Wet Spot, right here in the Emerald City. It also produces the world-famous Seattle Erotic Art Festival each spring. And here's a tip for all you people who have asked. No, you don't have to live in Seattle or even nearby to be a member of the Center for Sex Positive Culture. You can join and participate online if you're not in the area. Just think of all the great benefits this membership will entail. And, of course, your support goes to underwrite this amazing cutting-edge work. Membership information is on their website, sexpositiveculture.org. Their site is also chock full of other information about the Foundation and the Center. Check it out. And when you visit, be sure to tell them that Dr. Dick sent you. Today's program is once again brought to you by Dr. Dick's How-To Video Library. You will find a link to this great resource right there on the front page of drdicksexadvice.com. Look for the Video On Demand tab. All you really got to know about my video library is you can watch all kinds of deliciously entertaining, delightfully enriching, and thoughtfully informative videos right from the comfort of your own home. How sweet is that? Before we begin, I'd like to remind you of the Lickety Split Sex Advice Podcast voicemail hotline at 866-422-5680. Again, 866-422-5680. As you all know by this time, this is a free, no pressure voicemail kind of setup. No human will answer your call, least of all me, so don't be shy, my pretties. I'm looking forward to hearing from you. Okay, on with the show. So we continue our little sex field trip from last week. We find ourselves once again at the Wet Spot, which is the Sex Positive Community Center, don't you know? The ever-charming and delightful Elena Gabash, the executive director of the Foundation for Sex Positive Culture, is once again sitting opposite me as we're ready to pick up where we left off last week. So, Elena, would you like to say hello to the nice people once again?
Hello, nice people.
Okay, let's begin today with the Foundation's mission statement.
The Center's mission is to fuel the ongoing growth and development of sex-positive culture through community building, research, education, and outreach. Could we discuss those a little bit? What Absolutely. Is community building exactly?
Wow, community building, it means that we do a lot of things to do for community building. And one of the things that we do is we give make our space accessible to other organizations and other groups out there that want to put on events, fundraisers, that type of thing. For example, every Labor Day weekend there's an event here in town called Gender Odyssey for a transgendered conference. And on the last day of the conference on the Sunday, we let them use our space and they have a big party and a dance. And a couple hundred people show up and then we split the door with them. So they,
oh, wonderful.
And that gives them an opportunity to make some fun, make some money, and also gives people exposure to what we do. And then there's a woman named Midori who is a fetish diva and author and an educator down in San Francisco. And she does fundraisers for AIDS Life Cycle down there, and she'll come up here once a year and hold a women's strip. This year we had 250 women show up wow. for this, and it's a big fundraiser for them. Oh, it was wild too. And so that's one way we do it. And also we really are conscious about our programming, and we try to do as much as we can to make sure that there's programming for all the different types of sexuality out there. We have men's parties and women's parties and queer parties and polyamorous events and BDSM events and events that are sex focused, so that all the different communities, or as many as possible, are represented in our programming too, and in our education.
What about research?
We haven't done any actual research yet ourselves, even though that is something that we've talked about. But we make ourselves available to people, for example, who are going up, who are getting their PhDs, getting their doctorates, looking to do their thesis research around different types of sexuality. Plus, we also have a really huge library, and our library has, I think there's about 6,000 books, and there's a lot of. It's not all just a bunch of porn. There's a lot of it is really good. Different types of articles and different types of books around sexuality, and so we make our library accessible also to people who might want to use that for research.
It would seem to me that that be really an extraordinary gift to the community, because anyone who is in a university and wants to study these kinds of extraordinary communities would find it really difficult to connect.
Absolutely. So, there's not many. I mean, there's the Kinsey Institute and our library and the Institute down in San Francisco, the Center for Sex and Culture in San Francisco, Carol Queen's.
Right.
And that's about it. I mean, there's just not a whole lot of places you can go get good and find good demographics where we have we have members that are from 18 to 86. Our oldest member is an 86-year-old cross-dresser, by the way.
Kidding.
Yeah,
cool.
He's great. Still wears high heels. So we have a great demographic of ages, orientation, so it's great for people who are doing research.
Good. And finally, education.
Well, we do a lot of workshops here. We do workshops that some of them are free, some of them we charge money for. They're through the foundation mostly. And the workshops range from relationship building workshops to suspension bondage to how to give a blowjob. We have a woman.
A lost art.
It is. We have a woman that comes down from San Francisco once, or from Vancouver, Canada, once a month. Jennifer from Libido. In fact, you should interview Jennifer. You would love her.
Oh, I'd love to.
She's with Libido Events up there, and she's one of my lovers too, I have to say. A little full disclosure. And but she does workshops on blowjobs and pussy licking and just her cock sucking and her pussy licking workshops are to die for. They're just great, and she's very, very good. So we do that kind of education. And then we also do education outside of the center. I speak at colleges and conferences around the country and around the state of Washington, and we are looking at also maybe doing some education to the general public.
Wow.
But that, it, to me, is a lot of just being, going out and speaking at colleges, at human sexuality classes, handing out information at the quad at the university during some of their different events. All those are very educational for students and people. So we do that also.
It'd be so grand to be able to expand that to include like town hall meetings and things like that for the general public. Because we don't really get opportunities to talk about sexuality in a meaningful sort of way in our culture. We're either polarizing. We can't do that. You shouldn't do this. But it wouldn't be grand if we were able to, do workshops or just giving people opportunities to come and listen to educated people talk about sexual concerns.
I think you're right. It's one of the things that we've talked about is doing some town hall type meetings, and we've done some in-house. We call them Eros dialogues, and like I said before, we had one that where we talked about what is sex positive. The first one we did, the theme was what is great sex.
Wow!
And that was really interesting because it was even among the sex positive community, it was really hard to get somebody to give a clear definition to be able to say it. It's kind of like, oh, I know it when I see it type of thing,
or feel it.
But to get somebody to give a really clear definition, it was very difficult. And so we're looking forward to having more of those and hopefully taking them out into the general population.
So the center, or the Wet Spot, is a membership-based community center.
Yes.
And I was reading on your website, the intro to sex-positive culture is a mandatory orientation that all potential members must attend before joining. It is designed to introduce the broad range of experiences available at Seattle's Center for Sex Positive Culture. The orientation provides attendees with the history of sex positive culture in Seattle and reviews some of the expectations and, here's the operative word that I'm trying to get at, etiquette expected at our events. Can we talk a little bit about etiquette?
Etiquette. Well, etiquette is important, and the interesting thing about etiquette is we think, well, these different expectations, but etiquette is as simple as what we learned in kindergarten.
Ah.
Don't touch without permission. Say please and thank you, and I'm sorry when you make a mistake, and be sincere, of course. And treat people with respect. I mean, it really is that simple. However, we do expand on those a little bit, and we have specific types of etiquette rules and expectation rules around certain types of play and certain, for example, if somebody's going to do suspension bondage, they need to check in first so that we know that they know not only how to get people up, but how to get people down safely, because those can be a little bit more difficult types of things right. to do. But basically, it's what we learned in kindergarten as kids. Yeah.
Interestingly enough, and I suspect that you know this as well, that so many people, if they see nudity, they think that anything goes. And that's not really the case at all, particularly not in a sex-positive environment, because nudity is not necessarily an invitation for sex. It's nudity. And when you get a bunch of people together, nude people together, if someone doesn't know what the ground rules are, there can be some difficulties.
It's really amazing how some of those things that we learned in kindergarten just go right out the window when we get into a sexual situation, or a situation where there's, like you said, where there's nudity. And the reality is you know, people get to make their own choices of how much they want to be touched, if they want to be touched at all. Right. And we do workshops. Not only do we do a little bit here in the orientation, but we actually do workshops about negotiating, because it is sometimes difficult when you're faced with a naked person. We're not readily taught how to ask permission to touch, to, you know, may I or can I, or does this feel good?
Right.
You know, we don't get those opportunities, so we educate people around that. And
it's curious that few people know how to do that even in the privacy of their own relationships.
Oh my God, absolutely. I meet people all the time who, you know, they don't even know how to talk to their partner and tell their partner what they want.
Yes.
And I'm just
sometimes they don't even know what they want.
That's true. And that goes back to what we do. We give people that opportunity to learn that.
Yeah. I noticed something on your website that said all events at the community center, whether educational support or social in nature, are for the purpose of creating a safe and enriching space for those who are part mm-hmm. of a modern sex-positive culture. The words that I found that jumped out at me are a safe and enriching space. What does safe and enriching mean?
Create a safe space. First of all, we have certain types of expectations, like a no means no, that kind of thing. And that kind of sets a groundwork for safety. We have volunteers whose primary job is to be an ambassador, mm-hmm. to be there to answer questions, to assist people when there are questions about the rules and the etiquette, mm-hmm. and to be kind of a touchstone for it, you know, and somebody there mm-hmm. to talk to. And that helps, again, increase the feeling of being safe. Because safety isn't just about physical safety, it's also about personal, emotional safety.
Right.
And having somebody that you can talk to and be there and that you know is there to answer your questions, that can help make you safe. We and some of our rules involve things like no relationship drama. And I think so when people show up, they know that they're not going to have being inundated with an ex creating drama, that kind mm-hmm. of stuff.
Mm-hmm.
We have at some of our events, we have people called monitors who are there to make sure that people play safely.
Right.
That that there's if there's any problems with equipment or something like that. And again, we hold a lot of educational events, and that increases people's abilities and knowledge, and again, is enriching and helps them have a safer environment.
So I'm thinking in terms of somebody who is just trying to expand or virtually moving out of the comfortable space that they have been in, you know, for a good part of their life, and trying to explore things and not knowing if they're going to get it right the first time around. that issue of safety, that somebody's not going to, you know, point at me and say, "What a jerk! Look at you! You're nutty! You don't know what you're doing." But you know that people feel comfortable here and know that this is a good place and a safe place to explore.
Absolutely. That's why we have the ambassador program, which is just great because it's some place for new. It's geared towards our newer members, whether they're new in the space or new in sex positive culture, and so they can answer questions and you know, keep an eye on the person that might. We actually have a rule that says you can't point and giggle, you know, because people do need to be able to know that they can come here and maybe make a mistake and it's all okay. We do a lot of socials. We have support groups where people can come and talk about their experiences and their concerns and their fears and give people support in the different areas that they're interested in.
It's not easy being a kinkster.
It's not at all. Sometimes it's scary and you know what we do is you know there's. I like to say that if we're into SM, for example, I don't want to hurt anybody or harm anybody, but I may want to spank you and hurt you a little
bit. That's
right. And so learning how to do that safely and correctly is important. And again, that goes back to a lot of our education that we provide.
So it sounds to me that you have lots of people who volunteer, all these monitors and whatnot. You train them, yes?
Yes, we have trainings. We do a monthly training. We do specific training for cashiers, monitors, ambassadors, but we also do general training, such as last month we had a communications workshop, basically about communication styles and techniques and ways of being of communicating, and we've done a customer service workshops. We can't make them mandatory, but we make them highly recommended. They are mandatory if you're going to learn how to be a DM or a monitor or a cashier. But these other workshops are ones that we really encourage our volunteers to go to. We're working at setting up another CPR class, for example. So some of our volunteers will be CPR trained, so we do educate our volunteers and make sure that they're well trained so that they know what they're doing. And it takes a lot of volunteers to run this place.
One would think.
We have an event, some kind of event every day of the week. It's not just a weekend thing here. We have Monday through Sunday. We have play events that people can come and pay money and attend. We have support.
What is a play event?
A play event is an event that involves either sex, BDSM, dancing, all of the above. Mm-hmm. We actually, on Tuesdays, we have a thing called Daytime Playtime. It's for those people.
What day are we here?
Yeah, darn, you missed it. It's for those people who work nights in graveyards and just can't get here on a Friday night or a Saturday night. And we have, you know, I think we had 22 people show up at the last one. And it's just a small group of people, but they come and they play and they have an opportunity to do nooners and have sex in a place that's do SM in a place that's set up for it. Okay. So we do something, like I said, literally every day of the week and sometimes more than once because we have two venues that we can use.
That's right. Yeah. I'm happy to be sitting here in your newest space. Unfortunately, this is not a video blog, or I'd be having lovely photos and video of our conversation. But maybe that's going to come up one of these days.
I would hope so. Yeah, this is the Annex, and the Annex has a stage. And one of the things we're getting ready to do is sex positive theater. We just had a performance of this group called the Good Asian Tour, Good Asian Drivers Tour. These two queer young tranny boy and young dyke, they do this amazing song and spoken word performance, driving around the United States in a car doing this, and they were here just last week or a couple weeks ago, and so we're getting ready for our first play production here and coming up in the first weekend in June, and we're very, very excited about
doing that.
This is also cutting edge. I know you must be very proud. I'm thinking of all the people in our audience that have nothing like this where they live. Nothing, even close. I mean, they have little to no resource about sexuality in general, let alone sex-positive sexuality.
Yeah, we're very unique. There's nothing quite like us anywhere as far as the scope and size and the number of events that we do. And I get emails all the time from people all over the United States saying, how can we start a center in my part of the world? And we're actually looking at using the foundation as an umbrella organization to create centers around the country, because
that'd be cool.
there's definitely people interested in it.
That's really cool. Mm-hmm. And God knows we could use it.
Absolutely.
So you are a nonprofit, as
yes.
We talked about last week, and you are a sister organization for the Center for Sex Positive Culture. That's the wet spot, right?
That's the space.
Mm-hmm. That's right.
And then the foundation is our educational branch.
Right. Mm-hmm. I noticed that you organize several special events every year to increase support for all things sex positive.
Mm-hmm.
And you do fundraising activities and involve yourself in the broader community. Could you talk a little bit about those?
I can. My favorite is the Seattle Erotic Art Festival. We just had our sixth year this year. And the Seattle Erotic Art Festival was created as, it's a fundraiser, but also it's an event to support erotic artists. They don't get it. There's not a lot of opportunities if you're an erotic artist to show your work and to actually get any kind of legitimacy around your work. And so our show, unlike there's a couple other erotic art festivals around the country, our show is very much focused around the fine art side of it.
Right.
Even though we have performance art and we have installation pieces, but we're really conscious that we really want to focus on the fine art. And the first 5 years that we did it, there were three-day events with anywhere, I think the first year we had 200 and 300 pieces of art. The second year we had 400 pieces of art, which we were told by somebody from the Seattle Art Museum, even we don't do that big of shows. but we didn't know we couldn't, so we did it.
Yeah.
But now we've toned it down to several hundred pieces of art and performance art. And people from all over the world donate or submit their art. This is a juried show. We've had people from Kenya, from Japan, from Russia and the Ukraine,
no kidding.
England, Canada, Mexico, Brazil, Argentina. I could just go on. It's amazing where the arts come from. Phenomenal art. We have both juried and invited art. Some of our invited artists have included H.R. Giger.
Wow.
There's a gentleman named Pet who is represents him out of New York City, and he Art at Large is his group, and he's brought several other well-known erotic artists. But the Giger, I actually bought one. I have a
wow.
For those of you who don't know, H.R. Giger is the guy who designed the Alien for the Aliens show, and I have a piece of his erotic art. He makes amazing science fiction-y erotic art, and
no
a piece hanging over my bed. It's very sexy. And I actually collect erotic art. This year we did something different. We lost our venue from last year, and when we found out we lost the venue, we didn't have time to really kind of regroup. So we decided this year to just do a one-day gala party.
Uh-huh.
It's kind of a fundraiser to get ready for 2009, and we held it at the Exhibition Hall at the Seattle Center.
No kidding.
And it was incredible. There was less art. We only had about 70 pieces of art. It was all invited artists, and it was more focused on the performance because it was just a one-night party.
Right.
And we thought we might get 700-800 people show up. We had 1,500 paid people.
Wow.
And several hundred non-paid, like guests and right. artists. So we had almost 2,000 people show up for this event, one-night event at the Seattle Center, while there's Opera at McCall Hall going on next door, and Teatro Zanzani across the street. And we had people dressed in opera clothing coming in, and we had people dressed in fetish clothing walking
uh-huh.
in. And it was absolutely incredible. And next year, we're holding our full three-day event at the Seattle Center in the Exhibition Hall first weekend in May. And we're so excited that we're going to have it in a place that is so much more than just holding it at, like we had it at the Phoenix last year, and we've done it at Consolidate Artworks, but this is very big.
This is Seattle's
Seattle
Center.
Seattle Center. This is owned by the city. They were delightful and amazing to work with. They loved us.
Mm-hmm.
We're really good as far as keeping, you know, keeping clean and doing all that stuff. Mm-hmm. We're good tenants, and mm-hmm. they just loved us. And so we're really excited about next year, and we're going to have like 3 just bang up days. And
we moved it
to the first weekend in May so we could not interfere with anything else and make this a really fun event.
Mm-hmm.
So that's the big foundation event that's put on by the foundation every year, and the center puts on their own special event over Labor Day weekend,
uh-huh.
and it's called Paradise Unbound.
And the mind boggles.
Yeah, or we called it the Gathering originally, or the Wet Spot in Paradise. We had all kinds of names for it, but it is a 7-day campout held at a space that's just across the in Redmond. This beautiful retreat center that has like an indoor pool and a hot tub, and
wow.
and it's on about 15 acres and surrounded by this like woods, and yet it's only 25. Yeah, it's kind of out in that area. It's in the Redmond Falls City area, and there's only like 25. It's only about 25 minutes away.
Right.
Yet when you go there, I feel like you've walked into another country practically. It's so beautiful. And we start on the Tuesday before Labor Day and go through Labor Day. We feed you. You get to camp out. I sleep in a cabin, but we have camp outs. We have a talent night. We bring in a band one night. We have workshops all day, every day. We have vendors. And opportunities for people to play and have sex and lay out in the sun and what's really cool is that a lot of our events are kind of separate. There's the BDSM events, there's the polyamorous events, there's the dancing with a little sex, and there's the dancing with a little SM, and this has everybody. This
right.
is the most ecumenical of all of our events.
Oh,
it brings everybody together, and it's really. And the only negative is it's over Labor Day weekend, so the burners who go to Burning Man don't make it. So
yeah.
that's the only bummer about
yeah.
it. If we could move it earlier into the year, we would. But this works out really good for us. But it's an amazing event, and it's so much fun. And it's great to run around in sarongs or naked for a whole week, and
right.
you know, and like I said, pools, hot tubs,
yeah.
really hot water showers.
Mm.
Can't
roughing
be a
it.
Shower. Oh yeah, really roughing it. You know, I have to sleep on an air mattress in a cabin. Darn. No.
So what do you see? What do you see in the future?
Oh. Wow. For the center. I see us moving into our own building in the future. We love it here, and we have a great landlord, but we're in a neighborhood that's gentrifying. They're putting a Whole Foods across the street.
No kidding.
I heard that there's also going to be a jail clove real close, so who knows? I don't know. But there's, you know, this area is not going to stay light industrial for that long. So we're actually looking at buying a building down the road with, hopefully within the next couple of years. There's no tax break if you're a nonprofit for owning a building. So we're kind of toying with the idea of maybe looking for some investors to
right.
purchase a building and then give us a 25 or 99 year lease, something
right.
like that.
Yeah.
And but that's one physical thing that we really want. We want everything all in one space. We want to be able to not have to tear things down and set things up and. So that's really important. I think that we're going to do more outreach out into the mainstream society. Like I said, we are going to hopefully start centers around the country and start focusing more on the foundation and the education and assisting other people in creating what we've created. I think it's really important.
It's not like you're a fly by night. You've been here for a long time.
That's it.
When were you founded?
1999. We've had over 10,500 people join
wow.
since 1999, and that's pretty phenomenal. And I've noticed recently we've had a lot of people from 1999, 2000, 2001 coming back. Kids are grown, that kind
right.
of stuff. In the future,
kids joining.
Yeah. Oh, we actually have a grandmother, daughter, and granddaughter. Who are all
generational.
Members, generational.
Oh,
we have several of those of kind of things. For me personally, I've just appointed to the Commission for the Seattle's Commission for Sexual Minorities. I'm a commissioner.
Congratulations.
It's like so cool. And I want to run for city council someday.
Excellent.
Because you know what?
Sex positive city council.
Here's the thing. No sex scandal's going to get me.
Isn't it the truth?
Sex scandals are because of secrets.
That's exactly.
Larry Craig would have not had the problem if he would have been able to be an out gay man.
That's right.
And Spitzer, if his wife would have had a polyamorous relationship, there would have been no issues. I mean, you notice how the new governor of New York, his inauguration day is like, oh, by the way, I've done cocaine and my wife and I have had an affair and we're working on it, okay?
Yeah.
All that went away.
All went away.
So that's my dream is I want to run for city council. I like politics.
I'm going to vote for you.
Yay!
You got your first vote today.
Yay!
Unfortunately, our time is just about up for today. But before we conclude, would you give our audience the name and address of your website, and perhaps a little preview of what we might find there?
Great. Well, the website is www.sexpositiveculture.org, and on our website you'll find our calendar. You'll find a little bit. I have a director's blog, which I'm not very good at keeping up, so I think February was the last time I wrote in it.
Yikes.
I'm not a blogger, but I like to talk a lot. And so I have a director's blog. We have a place where you can donate money, hint, hint, and where you can learn about how to be a volunteer.
Oh, yay.
And we really always need volunteers. And just a little bit about us, information about the foundation, it's all, and some of our special events, and it's all there on the website.
Cool. I am so delighted that you've given us this opportunity to visit and to share your insight and this marvelous work that you're doing that is so inclusive and sex positive. Thank you again for joining us.
Thank you so much for having me. I look forward to maybe talking to you again about my favorite subject, sex.
Yay. And you'll be seeing lots of visitors from Dr. Dick on your site.
Yay.
Thanks again. See you in cyberspace.
Thanks, Dr. Dick.
Bye.
Bye.
Well, that's it for today, sex fans. What a great show. I'm so glad you could join me. Tune in next week for more Sex Advice with an Edge with your host, me, Dr. Dick. Again, this week's podcast sponsor is Dr. Dick's How-To Video Library. Listen up, buckaroos. Thanks to this amazing technology, you'll be able to watch your choice of smut from the comfort of your own home. With just a little prompting from you, they're going to come gushing out of your computer like nobody's business. Check it out. You'll find a link to this fabulous sex resource right there on the front page of drdicksexadvice.com. Look for the tab that reads Video on Demand. There's no membership fee. This is a pay-per-minute kind of deal. Remember that your pay-per-view minutes allow you to watch whatever content you want for whatever length of time you choose. Pretty sweet, huh? I also want to take a moment to alert you to a new feature on DrDickSexAdvice.com. It's my product review page. That's right, sex fans. Now you can see what's hot and what's not in the world of adult products. From time to time, I will be posting reviews of all kinds of adult goodies. Sex toys, for sure, but also condoms, lubes, fetish gear, as well as educational and enrichment videos. Don't miss a single one. Look for the Product Reviews tab at the top of the page. Be sure to look for Dr. Dick's podcast on iTunes. Once in the podcast section, all you have to do is search for Dr. Dick's Sex Advice. Don't forget to subscribe. Until next week, remember, sex is good. And good sex? Why, that's even better. Over and out.